Kobe Bryant will go on trial for rape. A Colorado judge yesterday ruled the case should go forward, though he said it looks weak. There is enormous interest in the trial of the star basketball player, of course, and it raises again questions of how the media covers rape cases, and especially the issue of making public the name of the accuser. Geneva Overholtzer is a former newspaper editor, now a professor at the University of Missouri's School of Journalism. She spoke with Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates.
Tell me, why is how the media covers rape beginning to change? And how much does this have to do with editors' sensibilities and our sensibilities as readers?
Well, I would argue that the main reason that the coverage of rape is changing is the proliferation of all kinds of media. You know, in the old days, and I would say just 15 years ago, for example, if a newspaper editor made a decision, most newspaper editors were making similar decisions, and there was a kind of a real gatekeeper role that worked. And one decision that they made was this question of whether or not to name rape victims. They continue to make that decision among the mainstream media, but because there are so many media which don't observe the same rules, we're in a very different situation now when it comes to setting policy. The old media really aren't the gatekeepers they used to be.
Let's talk about the new media for a minute, because, of course, Kobe Bryant has been in the news because he's been accused of sexual assault. Newspapers and a lot of radio stations and networks, including NPR, has done the traditional thing and withheld the accuser slash victim's name. Is the restraint that the traditionalists have shown in refusing to name her relevant at all?
I guess one thing I would note is that not all the media have been so restrained in a thorough sense. Many newspapers have, while rather solemnly and I think a bit self-righteously noting that they're protecting the victim by not naming her, have in fact failed rather miserably in quote-unquote protecting her, because they're giving all sorts of details about her private life and then sort of noting darkly that these things could in fact serve her ill in the courtroom. In my view, this policy arose for understandable reasons. That is, that rape is a particularly vicious and cruel and invasive crime, and that society, alas, attaches a particular stigma to it and somehow seems to assume, in the case of many rape victims, that they asked for it. But the decision not to name rape victims or accusers, it was the exception among all adult victims of crime. And I think we haven't thought well about what the cost of that is. I believe we have contributed to the notion that rape victims really ought to stay in the dark.
Talk about that a little bit. You, I know, have had personal experience with this dilemma as the editor of a newspaper that eventually won a Pulitzer Prize for writing about coverage of rape. How did you all grapple with this at the Des Moines Register, and how did you finally decide to name the rape victim with her cooperation?
Well, this actually arose because I got a call one day while I was sitting at my desk as editor of the Des Moines Register from the New York Times media writer, then Alex Jones, who was writing about a Florida Supreme Court decision in which it was determined that a paper was within its rights to have used a rape victim's name. And he was asking me about this, and I've always been pretty sure that he called partly because, as a good feminist, I would point out that we do this in order to protect victims of this particular crime. And I did say that, but I also said I have worried about the negative effects, whether or not we invite rape victims to stay in the dark, and whether or not our failure to name might indeed be contributing to an underreporting of rape. So eventually the New York Times asked me to write an op-ed piece noting that, and I wrote the piece and we ran it in the Register. And a woman who had recently been raped was lamenting this sort of, you know, why should I go in a corner and hide feeling that she was getting, including from rape victims' counselors. And her husband read the piece that I had written and went to her and said, you know, this lady editor in Des Moines feels the same way. So this woman, Nancy Ziegenmeyer, called me one day, and I happened to answer the phone myself. She made a very cogent case that she wanted to come speak to me. Within a few days, she was sitting in my office and kind of weeping and saying, I want you to tell my story. I want you to use my name. I want you to use the pictures. And I never really saw it as a campaign to name rape victims so much as an effort a newspaper should make to tell a story that is not often told.
Geneva Overholtzer is professor of journalism at the Missouri School of Journalism's Washington Bureau. Under her guidance, the Des Moines Register was awarded a Pulitzer Prize for its coverage of a local rape.
That interview by Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates.